Hi, everybody. This is Mary Baudouin, your host for This Ability Podcast. Today, we have our guest, Ashley Benoit-Olivier, and our topic is rare disease diagnosis and support groups within that. Her son, Drew, has trisomy, and we're also going to talk about a Facebook page that she created called Drew's Journey. So, Ashley, welcome to the show.
Absolutely.
So tell our audience a little bit about you, where you're from, and a little bit about your family.
My name's Ashley. I'm from Louisiana. I have three children, a husband. They call us the red ones because we're all redhead. But Drew is my baby.
How old is Drew?
He will be three on April the 1st.
Okay.
Liam is six and Lucy is five. When I was pregnant with Drew, our doctors noticed some different things about Drew. He had some cysts on his brain. Because of that, she sent us to a specialist who would do some more testing on me and him. The specialist also saw that he had an artery missing in his umbilical cord.
Okay.
So I first thought maybe trisomy 18, which would have been extra chromosome on the 18th chromosome. Mm-hmm. We did testing, opted out for an amniocentesis because I knew I was going to continue with the pregnancy no matter what. So no matter what the testing said, we were going to have Drew.
Did you have a normal pregnancy? I mean, quote unquote normal, you know. Any hospitalizations or anything like that?
No hospitalizations. Okay. We had talked about that the other day. Mm-hmm. Nausea. Really bad nausea. It was so bad that at one time I was in the bank and I was making a deposit and I was like, I need your bathroom right now. They looked at me like kind of funny, like, I'm not going to rob the bank. I just got to go. So, yeah. Everything about, which that was the question the geneticist asked us, was the pregnancy, if it was any different mm-hmm. from others. And yes, I have to say that pregnancy seemed different. Just felt different. Something felt off. Towards the end, he was actually born early. He was actually supposed to be born on April the 5th. I had went in for a checkup, and the doctor said, you have no fluid left. All the fluid had leaked. And he said, if you wait till Tuesday to do the section, then he's not going to make it. You need mm-hmm. to go to the hospital now. That was another thing that the geneticist had looked at and said, that's a marker mm-hmm. of some type of trisomy, is the fact that the fluid leaks. Don't know where it goes.
I looked up a little bit of a trisomy information, and you have some great information on Drew's page. And you said March is the trisomy awareness month.
It is.
So here's one fact, that humans do have 23 pairs of chromosomes for a total of 46. Trisomy is a condition in which an extra or third copy of a chromosome is present, resulting in a total of 47 chromosomes. The prefix tri, of course, means three. And here's another interesting fact, that a full trisomy means that every cell in the body has the third copy of a chromosome. A mosaic trisomy means that only some of the cells have the third copy.
Yes.
Is that what Drew has?
Yes. A mosaic. His doctor diagnosed him with, after he was born and everything, his doctor diagnosed him with a mosaic trisomy mm-hmm. 8, is the 8th chromosome. We've been just kind of living with that diagnosis, and it's really rare. The only thing that I kind of found off the ground running on Facebook, buddy, goes to Facebook. So there is a Trisomy 8 Mosaic Facebook page. You asked to be added as mm-hmm. a member. I looked at it the other day, and there was about, globally, there's only 700 people in this one little group worldwide. So that's crazy small group.
Yeah. Yes. Do you find that it's still a good network of people to connect with within that group?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of us, we get on there and we say, hey, we're going through this. How many of you have gone through,
right?
Or what did you do? Or insurance questions, because that's always, insurance questions is a whole nother ball game. On that page, you can get on there and can try to answer all your questions, because it mm-hmm. like you said, it does vary different, because it is mosaic. Not every kid has the affected cells the same. Everybody varies. They can kind of guide you in the right direction.
How old was he when his doctor noticed that something was off?
Pretty much right at birth.
Yeah.
He had, his soft spot on his head was large. There was no bone that separated the front and the back soft spot. So they said that was kind of a odd thing. So they had referred us to a neurosurgeon who told us there wasn't really she could do, because all that had to be done is the hole close, and she couldn't close the hole. It had to take its own time. And she said it might never close. He might continue with a soft spot for the rest of his life. He later, when he turned one, they said they had recommended he have surgery. Mm-hmm. So he had, you know, a few things going on there that mm-hmm. they did surgery on when he turned one.
Did you notice developmental delays and things that your other children were doing by a certain age that he wasn't doing? Or?
I think, I guess when everybody goes through that, they notice something. You know, he wasn't smiling. When I noticed my other children would start to smile, he wasn't rolling over. He wasn't doing the things at a typical stage a child his yeah. age would do.
Whenever you guys found out about the diagnosis, how did your family react?
Well, both sets of our parents are very supporting of mm-hmm. everything, and they love our children very much. There was no terrible reaction. They were both sides were both willing to accept it, do what we needed to do to help Drew.
Right, right. Yeah. Here's another interesting fact about trisomy, that Down syndrome is the most common living trisomy affecting the 21st chromosome and occurs in one out of every 800 births. Edwards syndrome, trisomy 18, occurs in one out of every 5,000 births. I guess this is pronounced Patou syndrome. Mm-hmm. Trisomy 13 occurs in one out of every 16,000 births. Yeah. Warkani syndrome 2, trisomy 8, occurs in one out of every 25,000 births. He has the mosaic trisomy, mm-hmm. which is even more rare.
Yeah.
So tell me about everyday life with Drew.
My other two kids. Getting dressed with them is so quick and easy. But Drew, there's a lot more to it than just yeah. getting dressed. Comes with braces for his legs, mm-hmm. special shoes. We got to put glasses on. We have a routine where he has to take his medicine because he does have hypothyroid. So he takes medicine every morning and he knows his routine. Yeah, the beginning of the day is a little hard because we're already running crazy. Now we got to slow down,
right.
do medicine, do mm-hmm. shoes, do braces. He goes to a sitter. I work full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His therapist come to him, which is a blessing for me. He does speech on Monday. He does physical therapy on Wednesday, and he does occupational therapy on Friday.
He is able to walk.
Yes. Yeah. When he turned two, he started walking. So he's been about a year behind schedule. Yeah. You know,
right.
Most kids walk at one, walked at two.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard at first because he had a lot of therapy to do for that. But,
right.
He's walking now. We're working on jumping and running.
I want to ask you, what is the relationship like between his brother and sister?
They love him. They fight just, you know, normal brothers and sisters right. do. Somebody will go to take mostly food from him because he loves to eat.
Uh-huh.
Loves to eat.
They I do too.
Yeah. So if they try to take food from him, he'll say, no, mine. They fight like brothers and sisters, but they love even harder. And I think for kids, it's odd that they would understand it. It's like they understand that something's different about right. Drew. I feel like they're more caring for him
sure.
and caring for other people.
Because they're probably going to have friends that'll do a sleepover at your house and they'll probably yeah. ask questions like,
yeah.
hey, what's up with your brother?
That was last year. My two older ones were in T-ball. That kind of hit me hard whenever a little kid asked his brother, is your brother blind? Why does he wear glasses? And it's, you know, he's going to have to answer questions like that
yeah.
one day. Why is your brother like this? Or why
right.
doesn't your brother go to school with mm-hmm. us? That one hit me hard because that was like the first time that ever.
I think a lot of moms and dads and caregivers can relate to what you're saying. You and I had a discussion about Drew last week about his immune system, that it's very compromised. Tell us more about that.
Very impactful, actually. I never thought that an immune system would play such a big mm-hmm. role in how our lives are going to pan out in the future. We're doing hemoglobin infusions, which his immune system is so low. They tested it. The immune system is very complex, which mm-hmm. I've learned. I've learned a lot of medical terms. His immune system is very compromised. People donate plasma and they spin it into a medication, subcutaneous, which means that it just goes right underneath the skin.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
not in the vein. So we do it at home. My husband and I take turns sticking and every other week. They pretty much told, with him on these hemoglobin infusions, he has zero response to immunizations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pointless to even do immunization. Mm-hmm. So they said, while we're on this hemoglobin infusion, that is his immunization. It's our only...
Because they can... The blood is pretty much purified to some degree.
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we hope that this is his best defense against anything.
How often does he have to get that?
Every other week. The last virus he had, everybody else had it in my house. It was 24-hour bug. We ended up in the hospital for 5 days.
Oh, no.
Something that might be 24 hours for you or I,
right,
it will be a week or two in the hospital for him. Hopefully these infusions will help. He also has T-cell deficiency.
Okay.
Where they kind of explained it to me. His body's kind of fighting itself. He has some, the B-cells are good and the T-cells are not. So the B-cells are trying to attack the T-cells.
Okay.
So his body's in a constant battle with itself. They're talking maybe later on down the road, possibly a T-cell transplant, okay, a bone marrow transplant to take the bad T-cells, put fresh, new.
What is his life expectancy?
There's not a lot of information out there. They do have on trisomy, they have it's adults living with trisomy. It's a pamphlet that I had found when we found the diagnosis. So there is adults out there living with trisomy, and they can, I read in the pamphlet that they can still have children. They still can live normal lives. On the support group, the Facebook page, they have, it's nice to see other parents of adults with this trisomy 8. They'll post and they'll say, this is my son, he's 50. And they'll post his picture and gives us some kind of hope of what the future might hold. I know when we first got the diagnosis, my husband had found an article from a doctor that said he'd never met an adult with trisomy 8. So that was like...
That's hard. You think the worst.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another memory that sticks out because... That was a hard for him. I never, in my heart of heart, I guess I didn't want to face the inevitable. I still have hope for his future. And I think that he's going to have a big, bright future. He loves rock music.
Oh, awesome.
On our page, you can see videos of him rocking out.
So tell us more about your page. What's the name of it? How can people find it?
Drew's Journey. Mm-hmm. It's on Facebook. I created the page. We had did a benefit for him just because... Back to the insurance.
Right.
At one time, he needed some testing done that insurance wasn't going to pay. Our family got together and they decided to put on this benefit for him to help raise the money for his future medical costs for the cost of the test.
Uh-huh.
So I created the page for that and to kind of update people, all his milestones he was meeting. And then it just kind of took off. We update pretty frequently and letting people know how he's doing, something new he did this week.
That's good. Correct me if I'm wrong, but whenever you were pregnant or whenever you had him, didn't you started a journal?
Yes.
Or documenting, and you want to eventually turn that into a blog, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have two entries out.
We can find those on Drew's Journey.
Yes, on Drew's.
Definitely look that up. Yeah. Well, Ashley, is there anything else that you want to talk about with Drew? Anything that you'd like our audience to know or anything that you'd like to share?
It's not a diagnosis. It's more than that. He's such a joy.
Yeah.
And if I wouldn't have continued with the pregnancy or, which that was never my plan, he wouldn't be here to show us what life is really about.
Yeah.
It's about the small things and taking a day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how you have to do it when there's so rare disease. You don't have a lot of information out there. I know some syndromes and that have teams of doctors who see this on a regular basis.
Right.
And so they have a team that jumps in and takes care of that child. But we really haven't had a team. We don't have a team. We kind of have to take it day by day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when something arises, we see a doctor for that, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's way beyond the diagnosis.
It's a way of life.
Yep.
I think he's an adorable child. I love looking at the pictures and the videos and of course with the siblings as well. You guys do great work with him and it's good that you're a part of a support group that can help. You can talk about those kind of things. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of Trisomy. And Ashley, I want to thank you for sharing your personal story. I know it's very personal to get out there, the information about your family. I think that if somebody's listening and they have had a child that was recently diagnosed with this or some other form of rare disease, I think you've given them some hope. I think that your story is something that somebody else could connect to because they've probably gone through some of the things that you're going through, or they might be just finding out that their child has this diagnosis. It's refreshing. It makes other people feel uplifting when they can hear stories like yours. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. All right, everybody. That's going to wrap up this episode of Disability Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.